morning. Okay, let's all stand and maybe shift our position, look around, say Happy New Year, Blessed New Year. If we've not seen somebody, yeah, is this good? Yeah. So, actually, this is the first Sunday of the year. There were many things I wanted to speak on, I was thinking what, you know, and like Pastor Benny beautifully said, there are many things we think is right, but finally we want what God wants us to hear, right? So this is a theme, I think it's going to benefit us this morning. So let's turn to Matthew 18, where it says here, verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Sometimes when I read this verse, it looks like Peter is an Indian, right? Because we Indians are always looking for the loophole, right? The loophole in the law. What is the loophole? And sometimes we think of God also that way. What is the loophole? Where can we bypass? Where can we do a shortcut? And we see Jesus' response here. He says in verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And that's a beautiful reply. And then in verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children, and that all he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do this to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the songs, the communion, the introduction, growing in grace. We pray you would speak to us this morning, Lord, and minister to us and heal us and set us free, Father, we pray. Yes, Lord, and be with us, Father. I pray for Pastor Brian here. Just heal him, Lord, in his health. And all those who are not well today. You would heal us. You would quicken our tired bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a beautiful passage. And the central theme, or you can, if you were to, like, if you want to put the gospel in one word, what is the gospel in one word? Is forgiveness. It is forgiveness. When Jesus said in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's forgiveness. And that is the Godward side of God forgiving the whole human race through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we see here that is a beautiful question. And Peter's question in verse 21 is an answer to Jesus' teaching in verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him. And that is the context. So you have to read the context to understand why the question is asked. And then Jesus says this parable, which is really beautiful. He says you need to forgive 70 times 7. And he gives this parable and he says in verse 23 to verse 27 is the first part of the story where there is a king and he has slaves. They are slaves, they are not servants. The word says doulos, they were his bonded slaves. And he was taking accounts. So when he's taking accounts, a certain servant is brought to him who owes him, what? 10,000 talents. Now, 10,000 talents is not 10,000 rupees, okay? It's not 10, it's a huge sum of money. It's a very, very huge sum of money. 10,000, like one talent, what? One talent. If he had to work every day and get a denarius a day, to make one talent, he would have to work 16.4 years. What is it? 16.4 years, right? So if he worked, let's say, five times of that, right? 16 into 5, Pastor Guru can do the math, right? Yeah, and his lifetime was over, he could still earn only what? 5. And where is what? 10,000. So 10,000 would be 1,64,000 years of daily work, right? Greater than the millennial reign, right? It's interesting. It's very interesting. That's why I'm telling you the maths, because we have to get a perspective of that, right? So we see here is the justice aspect where the king says, okay, get him, sell him, his wife, his children, and payment be made. Now, it's very unique to note that even if he would be sold, the payment would still not be made. That's the key. Would not be made because it was such a huge sum. Now, verse 26, the servant fell down at his feet and said, Master, have patience with me and I will pay you all. He cannot pay. He cannot pay. But he says it. And the master was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Can you imagine that? That is incredible. That is incredible. The debt is so huge. And because he begs him, what? The master what? Released him from the prison, whatever. And what? Forgave him the debt. That's incredible. That's really incredible. Now, the next, so that's the part one of the story. Now, part two of the story is this. Verse 21, 28. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So a fellow servant he finds who owes him 100 denarii. What is 100 denarii? About 3.5 months of salary. Okay? Catches him by the throat. Pay me what you owe. So the fellow servant also falls down at his feet and begs, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Now when the fellow servant is saying this, he is able to do it. What is it? He is able to do it because it is such a small sum. But he would not and went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Okay, so that's the second part of the story. And then the third part of the story is this, that the other fellow servants, they watch this and they report it to their master. And so the master calls him and says, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all. And then Jesus closes the parable by saying, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, when you read the Gospels, Jesus will introduce a theme, but it is in seed form. Right? What is it? In seed form. It is like open-ended. You cannot make out what it is trying to say. But it is only when we come to the epistles can we understand the complete doctrine from the first mention to the last mentions. Now, what we need to understand here is, when we contrast this parable to the gospel message, what does the gospel message say? The gospel message doesn't say that we at any point in time came to a realization of our debt before God, our sinful debt before God, and we ever pleaded with God. It never says that. It never says that. The gospel message says that God chosen in him before the foundations of the world in Ephesians 1:4, and the gospel message says in Romans 5 that 2,000 years ago, while we were yet sinners, we were ungodly, which means we were in the mind of God. We were without strength and we were enemies. He sent his son to die for us on the cross. And what is really beautiful to understand about that death is this, that Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. But it says forgiveness of sins, but what is the extent? Like, is it all? Is it some? Is it before salvation? Is it after? What is it trying to say? But it is the book of Hebrews which clarifies that. In Hebrews chapter 10, when you start reading, it says, when you contrast the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, every time they would offer the animal sacrifices, but the sins were what? Never paid for. They were covered. Right? Every year there was the Day of Atonement. It was covered. But in Hebrews 10:10 and 10:14, by one sacrifice which Jesus did on the cross. Are we understanding? What? One sacrifice. Right? He paid for it all completely. When? When we were not even around. When we did not have the awareness that we have a debt before God. Are you understanding? When we were not even around, he paid for it all. So the good news this morning in this Happy New Year is that our sin has been paid in complete. It's not a partial payment. It's not an EMI. It's not a down payment. It is not a conditional payment. It is not a contractual payment. It is paid in full. And when Jesus said it is finished, he paid it all. And God preserved the Bible, and through the Holy Spirit, when the gospel came to you and you made that one decision. What? One decision to accept Jesus into your heart. Guess what? You were forgiven once and for all. Isn't that incredible? And your eternal destiny was changed once and for all. And God cannot change that. Isn't that beautiful? That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Eternally secure. Eternally placed into heaven. Once eternally forgiven. Once and for all. Now the issue this morning is, we understand this. We are a finished work church. We understand this. But the question this morning is, we have to ask ourselves, you and me. I know that I am judicially forgiven before God. And I have a standing before God. Right? But am I really free on the inside? Are we free on the inside? Yes, I'm forgiven. I know I'm going to heaven. But am I free on the inside? So this slave who was forgiven, right? He came out and he found another person and he was not free on the inside. And he saw that, okay, you owe me this. Come on, you got to pay me. And he was applying justice, but he was not able to apply mercy because he forgot what he had received. And the question generally when offenses and hurts happen, and sometimes people come to us for counsel as men of God and say, I am hurt, or there is a conflict in a relationship, somebody says, I am hurt. The issue this morning is, can we say that to that person, no, you cannot be hurt. You can't say that. Because if they are hurt, they are hurt, right? That is a reality. But when we forget the biblical reality, then we start living in our experiential reality. And that our experiential reality dictates to us. And you know what it does to us? It binds us. It keeps us in bondage. Because we are not able to forgive. Because we are not able to see biblical reality over our present reality. And this morning, what is important is that you and I, we would start the new year on a clean slate. What is it? Clean slate, right? Colossians chapter 4 verse 32. You know, being kind-hearted, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ hath forgiven you. Has forgiven. That's aorist middle, which means at a point in time 2000 years ago, Christ forgave you. And that account is complete. And when you believed in Jesus, it was imputed to your account. And now, you can continuously be in a place where you can forgive. Because whatever offense is done to you can never be compared to the offense which was done to cross, to Jesus Christ on the cross. And the hurt which the Father felt when His Son was on the cross. Isn't that beautiful? And that is the key to our lives this morning. And the theme I'd like to set for us is, let this year, let us enjoy the gift of salvation. Right? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let's what? Enjoy it. Yes, we have it, but let's what? Enjoy it. Let's celebrate it. And how do we celebrate it? By coming to the scriptures. You have to come to the Bible every day. If you don't come to the Bible every day, then your present reality will dictate to you. And your present reality is true. We are not denying it. But God says, what I have done for you is far greater. Shouldn't you have done to that other person? I have done much more to you. Amen? So the proportion which God asks us to forgive is never in proportion to what He has done for us. Right? Where is 1,64,000 years of work and where is 3.5 months? Right? So in the Bible, God is always a majority. You know, when we don't come to the Bible, when we don't hear the word of God on a regular basis, when we don't have our minds renewed on a regular basis, we become bigger and God becomes smaller. Are we understanding? But when you come to the church, when you hear the Bible, when you read the Bible as a Christian, then God becomes big and we become really small. And that is the key to our lives today, is what? Forgive as I have forgiven you. Now, it's very important to understand that it's very easy to forgive somebody whom you're not going to see again. For example, somebody cuts you at the signal and he's on the wrong side of the road. You say one bad word and, you know, and then the spirit convicts you. I think I've said the most amount of bad words on the road ever since I've come to Bangalore. I miss the Goan roads. And I keep telling my wife and child, please forgive me. Oh Lord, forgive me. You know, because of the way they drive. And it's okay. Because we are thinking in our minds, in Luke 23, Father, forgive them, for they what? Know not what they do. They know not what they do. But if somebody in the church hurts me, who is a born again Christian, or if my spouse hurts me, no, Lord, that cannot be. Because they know what to do and they are still doing it. And that is the hardest. That is the hardest. But God asks us to simply forgive. Forgiveness is not a feeling. You and I will never feel like forgiving. Forgiveness is a decision of the will. Because the Bible is not a feeling. The Bible is the written word of God. And whatever God says, He means it. And so, today, let's think about it. Let's what? Enjoy the Lord. Let's say it. Let's what? Enjoy the Lord. This year, let's enjoy the Lord. Those of us who are in full-time ministry also, let's what? Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy His gift. You know, we are not doing ministry like, how's it? Oh, how are you doing? Oh, pulling along, you know, the burdens of, you know, wait. Let's enjoy the Lord. We are all sinners saved by the grace of God. Right? That's the key. And let's live in forgiveness. Right? And you know, forgiveness is very, very powerful. It's elementary. It's a basic doctrine. But it's very powerful. And you know, sometimes we think, yeah, we are walking with the Lord and we are receiving so much. But we have these issues maybe with an individual or certain sets of people. And we just need to let go of it. What is it? Let go of it. Because God says in Romans 12, vengeance is mine, I will repay. We'd say, if we forgive the person, the other person will get away with it. Nobody can get away with God, right? Nobody. But the key is to forgive and let go. So in closing today, let's turn to Ephesians 4:32. And this gives us the complete doctrine in Ephesians 4. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And then Colossians 3:13. It says here, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And we forgive, and our hearts are set free. And we not only enjoy the forgiveness, the judicial aspect where we are set free, but we are also set free on the inside, right? If you know my word, you will continue in my word, you shall know the truth. And what? The truth shall set you free. Where? On the inside. The truth shall set you free on the inside. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. We want to praise you, Lord. We want to worship you, Lord. This is such a beautiful theme, Lord, that you have died for us. You have forgiven us. And help us to constantly renew our minds with this theme. The extent of the atonement, that it was complete, it was final. That it was gracious, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We want to praise you. We want to worship you, Father. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, forgive, but that word is charizomai. It means it's gracious. Be gracious. Because God has not only forgiven us, but has given grace to us. He's taken us beyond. He has made us his sons and daughters. He's put the Holy Spirit in us. He's made us his own. And the Bible says in Psalm 144, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Or blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. And we are those people. Thank you, Lord. Lord, give us a great year, Lord. We pray as a body, as a church, as individuals. Give us a great year. Enjoying your gift of salvation. Enjoying your forgiveness. Enjoying your presence. Enjoying our walk with you. Enjoying your discipline. Enjoying the lessons you teach us, enjoying your correction, your conviction, Lord. Enjoying you, Lord, at all times. That we would always be thankful as a people, we would always be praising you, worshiping you, and help us, Lord, to forgive and bind us as one body. Where two or three are gathered, you are in our midst, Lord. And help us to experience that freedom, not only on the outside, but also on the inside. We want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for our pastor who labors over us. And we pray to bless him, his family, all the pastors here, the people in the church. Thank you, Lord. We want to praise you. Thank you for giving us a great year, Lord. We thank you for the worship team and every person, Father, the school, missions, everything that happens. And we pray you would, Lord, we would not only appreciate this doctrine in our minds, but we would experience it by the power of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we will be truly set free. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name.